Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Okay, that's a good answer. Alrighty, this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. That is open to all radio amateurs who can operate in the 2-meter band in the entire United States. This net is a conversation. It's a discussion about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, the science and technology that underlies it, natural phenomena, the way we apply it, the way we serve others, the way we amuse ourselves, the things that we aspire to do, the things we've done before that we'd like to do again, the things we've done before that we know we don't want to do again, and pretty much anything else. The other thing is you can, of course, discuss things like, what do you call it, for sale or swap or wanted items. There might be something in your shack that's surplus to your needs, something that you hope is surplus to somebody else's needs, and you can make that well known. So that's kind of what we're about here. So you can talk about anything you want, and if you just tie it back right. So we check in an orderly way with our name, our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, a for sale, swap, or wanted item, or none of the above. So stations whose call signs begin with the letter Kilo 2, or letter Kilo and figure followed by the number 2, please call K2BAR. Okay, let's do other kilos.
KD2DDK, listening.
Evening, Gary. Hey, what's your preference?
We're just in here to listen, Gordon. Thank you, sir.
Roger that. Okay, any other kilos?
KD2CWW.
Right now. All right, CWW, your prefix, your name, and your preference.
Chris, and I'm just listening.
Very good, Chris. Welcome aboard. Who is the station at Double Chris? Any other kilos?
KO2, okay. Gordon, no questions right now.
And I'm listening.
Okay, very good, Bennett. Now, who is the station just listening?
KD2EQZ, Andre, just listening.
Evening, Andre. I think you might be 5 kilohertz off, Andre. I may be wrong, but you sound a little distorted. Audio's a little low.
How about now?
I think that's a little bit better. Give us another transmission. Again?
Can you read me now?
Yeah, your just audio is just a little low, but you seem to be okay. All right, very good. Thank you very much, Andre. Any other kilos?
KD2EFJ, this is Paul, no questions or comments.
KD2EMG, I think it is, and it's Paul, welcome aboard. Any other kilos? Alrighty, let's go to November's. Alright, how about Alpha's? And how about Whiskey's?
This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River. Good evening, Gordon. Just listening this evening.
Okay, very good. Any other whiskeys?
WI2W, Steve, with an item for sale.
Okay, very good, Steve. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
WU2S, Randy, Washington Township, with about 4 comments.
Got that, Randy. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
W2LCN, the name is Rick in Bloomingdale. Just listening in tonight, Gordon.
good, Rick, and thank you for that nice cart. Alrighty. Any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, just listening.
Evening, Charles. Okay, any other whiskeys? Alrighty. Any other call signs? Any call signs? Anyone heard from W2JUK?
He was on the net yesterday.
Alrighty. Well, maybe he's just not ready to rock and roll. Anyway, alrighty. Well, let's go to our first item. Steve with his first single item, K2BAR.
This is WI2W. Good evening. I have a Drake MN2000 antenna tuner. That's a legal limit tuner. Covers 10 through 80. It's vintage. It's in great shape. Works good. Just not using it these days. And that's it.
You said that was an MN2?
MN2000.
Very nice. Okay. Very good. How would they reach you?
My call sign at ARRL.net works just fine. Or I'm in the phone book if you look me up. If anybody on the net is interested, give me a call after the net and we can go over the details.
Very good. All right. That may be quicker than we know, but who knows? All right. Any other for sale or swap or wanted items while we're here? Okay, FYI, I have a THF6 for sale, and it comes with the factory battery plus a one of those 3,000 or 4,000 milliampere ones or 3,600 milliampere ones. And the matching little desk charger for that. The bad news about the extra battery is that you need to use a rubber band to hold it on, but the factory battery still clicks in just fine. And I might have a speaker mic for it. No, I don't. No, I'm sorry, I don't. But anyway, it comes with a little desk charger for the battery, and it'll charge either battery, and it's VHT. So. Anyway, someone's interested in that, they can drop me a note. THF6 is a really nice 2-meter, 220/440, plus they receive on AM, FM, broadcast, they receive on 50 megahertz, 903 and 1200, and they also receive, they also have single sideband capabilities with a fine-tune capability, which is kind of nice. Really is. If anyone's interested, let me know. You can contact me after that as well. Alrighty. Are there any other stations with for sale or swap items? Alright, before we go to our next station, are there any other check-ins to that?
W2NPR, Hector, no comments or questions at this time.
Evening, Hector. No comments or questions at this time.
N2OEL, one question.
Connected, N2OEL.
N2OEL, one question.
I got you, Noel, no problem. We'll get your question in a moment. You know what, because he's on Echo Link and remote, Randy, I think I'm going to take his question now, if you don't mind, okay?
That's a great idea. Go ahead.
All right, Noel, what's your question, sir, and good evening, and where are you tonight?
I'm in upstate New York, located in the wonderful location heart of the Finger Lakes, where it was -8 last night with a wind chill of -31. However, it was rather warm when I went through town. It was 9 degrees. Of course, that was 2 hours ago. I'm in Penn Yan, New York, officially, I think. The question is, you've seen these cars with multiple antennas for different bands on them, and I'm wondering, what's the chances of you transmitting on one band that you whack the input of a radio on another band? For instance, 857 DEASU has a 440 2-meter side, and on the other side is HF6 through 160. If the antennas for these two bands were located, say, 6 or 8 inches apart, what's the probability that you would, if you transmitted on one band at, 100 watts sat band, or I guess it's 40 or 50 watts FM on 2 meters, that you're going to whack the input on the other band? Back to that, this is Ventura Young.
Well, I think it's 6 inches, that's the problem. But, you know, I normally have mine a couple of feet apart, or at least the best part of a foot apart, or 2 feet apart anyway, at minimum on a mobile rig. I've never actually done that, but then again, I keep my power levels down to, you know, about 50 watts. I think the most I've ever run on FM was 100 watts. And that was when I had my 746 Pro in the car, but I could spread my antennas around quite a bit. In general, it's not so bad. But theoretically, you could fry a front end.
Okay, the question would be, if I have my antennas on the bicycle rack, how would I prevent them?
Well, so how far apart are the antennas going to be, and for which bands?
One antenna is 2 meters, 440 dual band. The other antenna is going to be a 9-foot whip for 40 through 6.
And they'll be how far apart?
6.
I think your problems are not going to be so much the RFI into the front end and hurting that. I think your more problem is you're going to have interaction between the two antennas because they're so damn close together. Anybody have any thoughts on that? I don't think I'd worry about it other than the fact that they would just be just detuning each other. Anybody have any thoughts on this? HF versus 440 in 2 meters?
KD2EQZ with a question on that.
Go ahead, Andre.
Noel, are you operating both radios at the same time, or is it just the question of the antennas just being too close and the signal going from one antenna to the other?
It's one radio, actually, and I'm worried about the antennas being too close to each other where the signal goes from one antenna to the other one and fries the front end.
Yeah, I just don't think you're going to have that much of a problem. You know, if they were the same band, I'd be more concerned.
Comment?
Comment, go.
Yeah, Noel, go on YouTube and check out W6BBQ, Whiskey 6 Barbecue. Whiskey 6 BBQ, his name is Rem, and he operates Bicycle Mobile, and you'll see what his setup is all about. He works HF and VHF, UHF, and you might drop him a line and ask him. He might even be using the same gear. I forget. It's been a while since I saw his videos. But he operates Bicycle Mobile out on the West Coast, and he's got a bunch of very entertaining videos. Again, it's Whiskey 6, Bravo, Bravo, Quebec.
Go ahead, Noel.
Well, thank you. That answers.
Alrighty. That was certainly entertaining. Anybody else have any thoughts that they'd like to add for Noel's benefit?
Katie 2 EQZ.
Go ahead, Andre.
I know you were saying about the being on the same band, example of VHF. I had the same problem at ambulance court where it blew out the transmit mode on the 1-1 radio because it kept transmitting and bouncing back to the antenna that was roughly about 3-4 feet away from it. So I know in the same band you'll blow the transmit on the radio, but I don't know about other bands. If it's just a 1 radio, I don't think it's really going to do anything to the from one antenna to the other.
Okay. So, it's not so much the receiver in your case on the air ambulance. You actually had a reaction between the two transmitters. Or one transmitter getting fried because it had a high SWR because of the detuning of the adjacent antenna.
Exactly.
That's good to know. All right, anybody else?
Thank you, Andre. That's good. And, thank you, Steve, for that suggestion. And Whiskey 6, Bravo, Bravo, Quebec. All righty. Noel, back to you at QAL, KCBAR.
No, I have no more questions. Thank you.
And thank you for that lovely weather report that makes us enjoy our tropical paradise here in North Jersey, where, it's at my house. Actually, I don't know what the temperature is at my house. I don't know. I'm not downstairs. I can't look. But, in sunny Bergenfield, or not so sunny Bergenfield at this point, it is a balmy 18 degrees, and it's dropping. And in my favorite summer vacation spot, Lake Clear, New York, is it's -5. So, alrighty, with that in mind, 7-3 for now. Noel, and pardon me. Feel free to come back in if you have another question. Alright, Randy. Rock and roll with your stuff, W2S, K2BAR.
Quick comment?
Steve, go.
Yeah, correction on that call sign. It's Kilowatt 6, Bravo, Bravo, Quebec. K6BBQ, and his name is Rem.
Okay, Kilo 6, Bravo, Bravo, Quebec. Forgive me for that. Thank you for the correction.
That was my fault, Gordon. I gave you the wrong one first.
Okay, at least I copied correctly. All right, very good. W2S, KQBAR.
Thanks, Gordon. Good evening to everyone on the net. So I've got a number of items I hope will be of some interest to the net this evening. The first item on my list is very high-quality, weatherproof Ethernet cable. And I came across this as a result of the work that Gordon and I and others have been doing regarding the new improvements to the broadband hamnet and the ubiquity access points that we've been playing around with. So the what's different about this Ethernet cable is the fact that not only has it got a much sturdier jacket around it that will protect it from the weather, but the it's very much more shielded, much better shield. Plus, there's a drain wire to remove any static buildup at the antenna or the equipment. Let me let this drop for a moment. The drain wire also attaches to some nice RJ45 connectors that Ubiquity sells as well, and another interesting thing about these connectors is that instead of being 100% plastic, they have the familiar plastic insert, but around the outside, I'm assuming it's aluminum, it would be a very thin aluminum shield that also has a little lug that you crimp the ESD drain wire to. And so when you're using this with power over Ethernet, and you're running it outside to a Wi-Fi antenna, one of these pieces of Ubiquiti equipment, you've got an electrostatic discharge drain that works terrifically. I'm also considering using small pieces of this inside around the shack to see if it removes some of the RFI hash that Ethernet cables, particularly poorly insulated ones or shielded ones, generate around the radio equipment. So that's my first item for consideration this evening, Gordon. Back to net control.
The idea, the real question is, you know, what do you do for a ground? But that's fascinating. I like that idea. That has real potential for a noise reduction capability, even within the shack. I'm liking that. We'll have to see how that actually plays out. Have you read up anything that regarding that?
A little bit. I guess regarding that, if you mean that about Ethernet cables in the shack, I do have a additional resource on it. If that meant something else, please let me know. K2BAR?
So you're spot on. That's exactly where I was going. In other words, you have some reference that suggests that this would be a good technique for hash reduction?
Yes, I do, and that's the next item on my list, and I need to assure the net that Gordon and I did not rehearse this ahead of time, but he seems to be tuned to what I'm thinking here. By the way, I'm thinking of being at the Fair Lawn Club tomorrow evening, and I suppose I could bring a sample of this cable and the connectors with me for your inspection so you get an idea of what I'm talking about. It's always nice to have it in your hand. Regarding advice on Ethernet cables and in the shack and general RFI suppression and audio noise suppression, let me let this drop. I found a really interesting source of information. I believe the fellow's name is Jim Brown. His call sign is Kilo 9 Yankee Charlie, and I believe he's out of Madison, Wisconsin. He's also, I believe, an audio engineer. So if you just Google K9YC, or if you look up the website audiosystemsgroup.com, all one word, he's got a tremendous amount of presentations and papers that he's written on the general subject of improving audio quality, getting the hash out, removing RFI, and he's also the one that suggested that much better shielded Ethernet cables are a good idea, as well as, and I'm really intrigued by this, some very specific part numbers where you can build your own audio cables, as well as the cables that might connect your rig to a computer. He suggests that often the cheap cables that we buy with the little 1/8 inch TRS plugs on them may not be a good thing, and he suggests some very inexpensive ways of building your own. So I recommend you look at that if you're interested in the subject and looking for a couple of simple construction projects. Back to K2BAR.
Really good. Let me just say this about your topics. Working with RFI cases that come by AT&T in the UVerse space, occasionally we found it helpful to use shielded cat wire between the network interface and the residential gateway, which is the DSL modem and router and Wi-Fi hotspot box all rolled into one. And it does make some difference in high RF cases, either due to ham radio or industrial noise sources that are co-located that we can't get shut down or quieted down because they're out of our control. Or there's my other favorite, which is the AM broadcast stations. And like here, they tend to be clustered, so if someone lives near one and is impaired by one, they're impaired by a whole lot of them. So we can kind of provide some immunity to noise. It really does work out well for us. Over.
Now, that's an important set of points to consider. And again, I recommend very highly to everybody on the net, Kilo 9 Yankee Charlie got a great set of presentations and papers. He's not just blowing a lot of smoke. He's got a lot of the data with his papers to explain how he arrived at this. He's got circuit diagrams for a number of the topics to present exactly what he's talking about and where the flaws lie and how to overcome them. So he seems to have spent a lot of time thinking this thing through. So again, strongly recommend that you at least take a look at a few of the papers. I'd also like to suggest that he might be the kind of person that might be able to do some presentations to the local clubs. I know he's done them in person at various venues. Perhaps it might be feasible to arrange a Skype presentation for Jim Brown to present his views on any one of these topics. But give it a thought. He's just a tremendous wealth of information that he's presenting to the ham radio and audio engineering community. Back to Ned.
Yeah, that's a splendid idea. I like that. And even if we can't do it via Skype, maybe we can just simply do it via Echolink and have him even come in here one night. That might be fun. Something a little different. We could definitely arrange for that. I could also, if we want, I could set up a phone bridge one night apart from the net, and we could do a conference bridge and let him do a little technology dance for us all. And I'd be happy to set up a conference bridge, and he'd actually be able to, present printed materials, PowerPoint slides, et cetera. In fact, if anyone's got a really important topic, let me know. I could set up a conference bridge in a snap and allow for that. I could arrange for that, especially if there's, some technical benefit to not just the amateur community, but something that I could bring my maybe some of work colleagues in on. They would probably welcome that opportunity. And always looking to cross-fertilize and facilitate that kind of thing. So on a session other than the net, we could probably do that just fine. I would just have to have the email addresses and the names for everybody who's going to participate and go from there.
anyway, and I have to know what the topic is. I mean, obviously the topic would have to be pre-vetted and have a business purpose, but cross-fertilizing the business with some outside expertise is always good, and everybody can learn and be better for the process. I think I could probably facilitate that without too much trouble. We got kids involved even better. My radio got a little goofy there. I don't know what happened. How much of that stopped working?
We got it all.
Really? Wow. What's going on with my radio? It's flashing pretty lights and doing all sorts of odd things. That was entertaining, to say the least. All right, my audio okay now?
Yeah, it's a little fuzzy, but you're allowed.
I'll back off the mic. That'll make the fuzzy go away.
Much better.
Yeah, one mic I have to close talk. The other mic I gotta, put it in the next room in the South 40. Alrighty, I apologize for that. That was very entertaining. I have to find out what that was about. There, all of a sudden I look up and the radio is flashing lights, but apparently it was still working. Alright. Let's see. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh well. We have an opportunity is the point. And we can certainly get to it. Just wondering if anyone has any anything else they'd like to add to this portion of our topic. Alrighty. Then I guess, Randy, you can go with the next one.
Okay. Thanks. Oh, and regarding the conference bridge and that too, I'll certainly offer my capabilities as a backup to your suggestion. I've got a go-to meeting account that we can certainly do webinars through should the need arise. Be happy to make that available to the group for further education.
Well, that's super. Just curiosity, just for everybody's education, how much do they charge you for the use of the GoToMeeting account?
Oh, I don't know. It's what difference does it make at this point? To me, it's a sunk business cost. So it's whatever I choose to use it for, I use it.
Okay. Do they charge you, per connect time, or how do they do that?
Well, yeah, I think there's a I pay an annual fee, and there's some I guess maximum number of users I have at whatever level I'm at, but frankly I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, very good. Okay, yeah, that's a pretty wide open bridge, and I do not need to worry about that cost. We certainly can. Again, I'd be very, very careful as to when we would use it and for what purpose. I'd like to see that there be an educational purpose related to my business as well as to the amateur community as well, because I think that's, the best way to run things. But anyway, very good. Nice to have opportunities to do webinars and things like that. That's super. Alrighty. I'm just trying to think. Let's see. Are there any other questions on this topic before we move on? All right, Mr. Randy, it's your ball.
Okay. Thanks, Gordon. So I've got a number of computer-related items that I've been working on recently, and so if anyone has questions or comments or needs some personal support, I'd be happy to offer my time and services to the folks here on the net. The first computer-related item is I've started fooling around again with Raspberry Pis, and again, the motivation was to be able to stand up a number of simple servers that we could attach to an ad hoc broadband hamnet, the mesh network, and we could just plug these things in, and they could provide and advertise a number of services. Being that we're talking about Raspberry Pis here, we're not talking about tremendously high performance nor tremendously high throughput, but generally that wouldn't be an issue. So I've set up a web server. I plan on setting up a voice over IP server similar to what Rick W2LCN has done, and a variety of other things, IRC server so you can do text communication in real time, and a variety of other things I've stumbled across. So I've got a number of them set up and starting to test them in their throughput, and it's really a lot of fun. It's once you get into it, it turns out to be fairly simple, but if anybody's curious and hasn't done it yet or is struggling with some aspect of Linux on the Raspberry Pi, I can bring these things in and show you how to work them. They're really, if you haven't played with one, they're really nice. They're inexpensive. I guess they're about $40 computers, run off of 5 volts, very tiny, not much larger than a pack of playing cards. So you get a surprising amount of power out of a little gizmo like that. So hooray for the 21st century in computers. WU2S, back to net control.
Yeah, I had a couple of things related to that, just me. Number one, one of my tough books is acting very irrationally and goes into this state where it basically freezes the machine for about a minute, then comes back to life. And if I run the performance monitor, it just freezes, and you have no idea as to why, and it comes right back. But no processes are running, apparently, during that period. It's an outright machine freeze. And it comes and goes as to whether or not it's occurring, which is even more infuriating. But if you have any thoughts on that, pardon me, please let me know. The other one is I received two more of those, 7960s VoIP phones today. And I haven't had a chance to verify that they are set up with IP, with SIP, I should say, or are they in the original Cisco mode. But once I determine what they are, I'm going to want to put a server together and get that tested and running. A week from Monday is the Wayne Amateur Radio Club meeting, and I've been invited to be their speaker, and be happy to share the podium with you, Rick, anybody else, Gary, Carl, any of the other usual cast of characters. Invite others to come as well. They're going to do some sort of demo, and I know I'm going to use IRC, but a web server might be fun and a few other things. Randy, if you have a Dropbox, you could save the image of each one of those as configured. Maybe put it on a Dropbox. That might be kind of handy. That way we could pluck them off of a server, and all we have to do is change the identities, and away we go. If you just put an attached text file, that way it could be a little bit of a cookbook. Just, burn the image, make the adjustments, and good to go.
Okay, well, that's a couple of things. No, I don't have a Dropbox account, but there's a variety of places that we can put that stuff. I hadn't thought of that, but it's certainly a good idea. I'll look into how I want to do that. And regarding a week from Monday in Wayne, I'd be happy to assist you on that if you can just email me some of the details, and
what you'd like me to bring, that'd be fine. I'd like to participate in that. I'd also like to hear from Rick, W2LCN, is here, if he's made any progress with the voice over IP phones. Back to net.
Well, Mr. Rick.
All right, I was just going to stand by and listen in. Like I said, you guys know I'm going through a lot of BS at work, but I did manage to reach out and touch base with the gentleman whose name is Ron, and we're going to try and put something together for next week. He said the phones are in service now. He's also got a AllWorks 10X server that he was offering up for sale as part of this package, and I think he's kind of coming to the point where he's ready to sell, and right now we're looking at about $20 a phone, and these are for, let me just pull this up, Brandstream HD GXP 1450 business phones. They are SIP, they do have SIP firmware on them to be run on a PBX system. So these should work with our system. I just want to do some more legwork and then meet up with the gentleman. I was going to give you a call. In fact, I was going to try and touch base with you on Friday and find out some of your plans for next week, because it looks like we could be able to link up with this gentleman and pick up a number of these phones and bring them back to whoever would like to try and put them on. And I believe they run on 12 volts, and the phone itself runs on 5. I've got the manual here online, but if anybody is interested, I would say just send me an email at w2lcn@arrl.net and just let me know if you have an interest in one or two phones. We're probably looking at about $20 a phone, so that's probably the price we're focusing on. But give me an email and a heads up, because I'd like to get a few phones that I know Randy would, but I'm sure there's other people out there, so maybe we can make a bundle of a number of phones. So hopefully things will go well. And Gordon, I'd also like to get an email on that Wayne meeting, whether or not I can attend. I'd love to be able to if I can do it, since it's close to home. Anyway, this is W2LCN. I will send it back to Ned.
All righty, very good. Well, I like about the Grandview phones, well, I mean, even though they're simpler, you can drive them more easily off of a 12-volt supply, ultimately a 5-volt supply. It's not a big deal. That's great. The Cisco's require 48 volts, which is just charming. When this net breaks up, I'm going to actually take, that's why I'm cleaning off my desk, by the way, as we're doing the net. I'm going to put four of those lovely 12-volt batteries on my desk and strap them up funny and make them work in 48-volt mode. And I already have the cable set up. It uses the same cable as the Linksys routers. Not the same power, but the same connector. So I'm going to connectorize that and go from there and build myself a custom 48-volt battery-based supply out of 12-volt batteries and test each of the phones that I have just to see if they'll come up and work, light up, and talk to me. So we'll see. Anyway, if there's any other questions, comments, or confusions on this, let me know. The other thing, besides my lovely issue with my one tough book, I'm looking forward to seeing what I can do about setting up the the idea would be to set these phones up, either the Grandviews or the other ones, in a mobile environment. So essentially you'd have for fixed purposes, you'd have a car phone with a traditional handset. I think that would just be killer. And what a hell of a go kit that could be. You open up a hardened case or one of the other ones, and you open up with a radio interface, Cat5 router, and a phone, and maybe even a cell gateway, and blah 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 blah. Anyway, at this point, back to you, Randy, for your next.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Gordon, and yeah, thanks, Rick. I'll certainly send you an email as well. And so the next logical item is how do you get to all these computers when you're fiddling around with them? Certainly one at a time is where everyone starts. You might even have the, say, a Raspberry Pi cabled via wire directly to your laptop or a desktop machine to fool with it. But at some point, this stuff starts growing out of control. I've got a wired and wireless home network that's unintentionally become very, very large and not overly complex, but just a lot of stuff. And when I start plugging four or five Raspberry Pis in, that just adds to the, I guess, confusion or the inventory that needs to be managed. So I've got Linux machines of various sorts and various distributions. I've got Windows machines of various sorts and various distributions. I've got Apple products on the network. I've got mobile devices and a whole bunch of other stuff. But sitting at the desk, would be nice to be able to talk to all of these things. And for years I've been running up and down between floors in the house and in my office, which is probably a good thing. It's a wonderful excuse for exercise, particularly going up and down the stairs. But at some point, that gets not only tiring, but inefficient in terms of management. So what most professional network and system managers and systems administrators do is log in remotely to all of their hosts using something called either Telnet or SSH, Secure Shell, and that's the traditional way of going. And pretty much all of the Linux distributions come with Secure Shell either included or easy to enable and set up. The Raspberry Pi takes a little bit of work, and for some folks it's confusing, but it's actually not too bad. And one of the more problematic sets of machines are the Windows machines. So I found a couple of products that seem to work reasonably well. One's called BitVice, B-I-T, Victor India, Sierra Echo, BitVice. They make a server, and I'm talking specifically about the server that you would put on a Windows XP machine or Windows 7 or some of the other variants of Windows. There's another one for Windows called FreeSSHD, as in Delta, and that looks to be slightly the better of the two products. In sort of a minor way, but either works fine. And of course what I'm using from my, I guess, command machine or console machine to actually log into these remote machines is called PuTTY, and PuTTY enables you to talk across the network and log in. So I've been setting this up on all of these different machines and gaining a lot of experience in doing so, particularly through the variety. So again, if anyone has questions or needs some assistance in doing so, please reach out to me. I'd be happy to assist you in any way that I can. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to Net Control.
Very nice. That's super. One of the things that I've taken upon myself to do I managed to acquire a small netbook, an HP netbook, and that's in pretty good shape. I have these little Lind power supplies for it,
that provides, I guess it's, let's see, what's the output on this one? So it's 19 volts. It's like the ones you use for the modern big boy HTs, but it's obviously much smaller. And what my plan is to use this, not in Wi-Fi mode, but, although maybe eventually I could put it in Wi-Fi mode, but certainly, at least initially, use it as a console machine for that for running PuTTY into all the different Raspberry Pis that I've got squirreled around. And I remember what I was going to say before. One of the things that should not be overlooked, if you have a household router through which you run, let's say one of those routers that also does your VoIP and it does your video, you know, passing video through it and all sorts of other things, you need to keep in mind that, you know, if you have something like an Apple time capsule or something like that, that you can hurt yourself in ways you hadn't even thought of as far as getting good video, because you're at the same time just beating the hell out of your LAN, and specifically not the capacity of the LAN, but the CPU capacity of your router might get overtaxed, depending on how old your router is. So a lot of us are using these old Linksys routers as extensions and auxiliaries. You can really, you know, overtax those bad boys without too much trouble. One other thing, and you'll notice that in your VoIP and your video and everything else. One other thing you might want to think about over time is multicast. I haven't determined whether or not the Wi-Fi access point in MeshNode, the MeshNode access point, with the 172 addresses or whatever they slave it off of a regular MeshNode. Their Wi-Fi, I don't know if it supports multicast UDP over the Wi-Fi itself, but if it does, you could use a VLC server on your mesh network and have it multicast across the Wi-Fi, not the mesh itself, but across the Wi-Fi access points. If that's supported, that might be entertaining for streaming video content to multiple parties. So you might take a single camera in, do a unicast to a multicast point, and then spray it out over UDP at the far end of the router. Not the router, at the Wi-Fi access point. Get ready.
Yeah, that's a real interesting thing that we really should look into and talk to the broadband hamnet guys down in Texas and California, because that kind of capability would be enormously useful for emergency management deployments, that kind of, as well as just being a lot of fun. But I guess that's really all I've got for today. I wanted to mention this collection of things that I've been working on, many of which are related in some ways. And I know it's a bit much for the, you know, all at once. I didn't mean to hog the net this evening, but as many of you know, I've been on kind of a forced hiatus here for the last couple of months due to my wife's health, but wonderfully she's recovering a lot better, and I'm kind of like back into this, into my time for goofing around rather than watching over her 24/7. So I've caught up, and I just wanted to let everybody know some of the things that I've discovered and having a lot of fun with, and I hope to share the fun with the rest of you. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net control.
Very good. Very, very good, Randy. And we're glad to see that your wife's on the mend. Every day, one day at a time. All righty. Anybody else have anything they'd like to add?
Sorry, checking in. So ETJC.
Go ahead, Mr. Jim. What's your pleasure?
None of the above, or...
Alrighty, well, none of the above is an acceptable way to do business. I don't know what's going on here, but my My power supply seems to be properly connected. Everything seems to be happy. And yet the computer boots up on it and then just craps out. It's a little netbook I just mentioned. But I got two other netbooks that used to be my son's that they don't love anymore. And I just got to dig up power supplies for those bad boys and I could be back in business. But we'll have to figure something up. But netbooks make great little clients. The other thing I can say is tablets do too. As long as you have all the plugins on the web browser and you don't do stupid things like have an iPad where they get grumpy as to what you can do and what you can't do because, you know, it's either Steve's way or no way. I don't mean WITW either. I meant the other Steve, the dearly departed Mr. Jobs. The man with a four-letter word for a last name. Anyway, let's see. I guess that's something to consider as well, as to, you know, having a tablet to use it is good as long as you can match the application environment. But I personally like a little, you know, small netbooks and things like that if I can get them up and working and stable enough to be fine. They support all the usual goodies. And I think at some point I might even take a netbook and run Ubuntu on it just because it's quicker. Unless that proves to be, you know, more of a nuisance than it need be with respect to the other client systems that might be out there. But between phones and computers, there's plenty of ideas. And, you know, I was just thinking again, Randy, maybe you simply create a second Gmail account or an additional Gmail account and use that as a, I think they have the 15 gigs of storage on Google Drive. Maybe that's the way to handle this image stuff.
Yeah, that would certainly work as well. You know, that's really not a problem. I guess it would be just a matter of, you know, who could access it then. I mean, for that matter, I can set up, you know, if it was just a matter of setting up accounts, I've got publicly accessible, you know, servers that I can set email accounts up on the WU2S.com domain, you know, to store stuff like that as well. So, you know, that's not really an issue at all.
Well, that's even better. Do you have access to a, you just put a web server on that and just poke a hole in your firewall to it and let anyone browse to it and be done with it?
Yeah, certainly we could do that fairly easily as well. It's really just not that big of a deal. So, yeah, if we have stuff that we want to store that way, I'd be happy to volunteer the space and make files like that documentation accessible here to the community.
Yeah, we could post the references to it on the ComTech group, and that way people would just be able to go to that site if they weren't sure, just go to your file site on your server and download as whatever they feel like. And just before I came up here, I plugged in my Ubiquiti box in the dining room and pointed the antenna into the wall toward the garage. And for whatever reason, it's not showing up, so I think I may have missed a step, like maybe not turning on the power strip before I came up here, but such is life. I'm going to quietly and assuredly work on getting this getting these netbooks up to snuff and with you know, a chat client. Which chat client have you been playing with, by the way, or haven't you yet?
Which what kind of client?
Internet relay chat.
Good
question. I think it was either IceJet or something else. There were a couple of them. There were two or three that I was actually looking at.